out of this with their land and gold. Think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy. Your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Amen. Good scene. Brother Ryan, would you have some word of prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for the great fellowship we had this afternoon. I pray, God, that you'll bless the singing unto you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our second zombie song, number 207, Only a Sinner. Song number 207, Only a Sinner. Song 207, Only a Sinner. We'll sing it together on the first. Not have I gotten, but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Once I was foolish and sin ruled my heart, causing my footsteps from God to depart. Jesus hath found me, happy my case, and now am a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Tears unavailing, no merit had I. Mercy had saved me, or else I must die. Sin had alarmed me, fearing God's face, but now I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. On the last. Suffer a sinner whose heart overflows, loving a Savior to tell what he knows. Once more to tell it, what I embrace. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Amen. Good seeing you. At this time, we'll have our announcements.
All right. Happy Father's Day again, everyone. Verse of the week is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Service times are 10:30 this morning, 3:30 in the afternoon, and 6:30 on Wednesday for the Bible study. So many times were yesterday at 12:30 and 1 p.m. today. I believe there were only soul warning today. But we've had 9 for June, 15 for May, for a total of 95 for the year so far. Tins down below. Let's give thanks to all the ladies that made a wonderful potluck for the Father's Day. It was quite wonderful. A lot of good treats in there, so really appreciate that. It's good to see our visitors that came out this morning. I was glad to see them as well. July 28th will be the next homeschool day. It'll be here at 11 a.m., just RSVP with Miss Kylie. And keep in mind, just a little over a week from now, we're going to start a two-month challenge. Two-month challenge, July and August. The challenge is summer soul wearing awareness. All right? Yep. The purpose of this challenge is, look, we give we have multiple soul winning chances throughout the week, throughout the month. However, soul winning time is the time we make it, so you just focus on that. But here's the thing is, you run into lost people every day, everywhere. So the challenge for July and August is that every member takes time to invite 25 people to church. Now, what I mean is, you don't find that one person and annoy them every other day. It's 25 flyers to different people, right? Now, if you want to keep annoying that person, great, but that counts as one, right? But the idea is this, is that you invite people and try to give the gospel. There's certain stories going around just motivating people. And I was just told also this, is the reason this church is here is because someone took the time at a Chinese restaurant to look at Pastor Thompson long before he was a pastor, long before anyone probably look at him and think, here's a man that's going to run soul-winning churches throughout the world, and said, you, sir, need the gospel in their mind. I don't know the exact words. I don't know exact things. But Pastor Thompson has said he has attempted to even find this man. Because here's the thing is, he probably has absolutely no idea what happened to this young man that he went to, gave the gospel to, and years later, he is moving soul-winning missions around the world, starting churches in different countries, going soul-winning around in different continents. Yeah. It was amazing. It was because someone took time in the middle of a Chinese restaurant that was just waiting to get food, and he said, you know what? I'm going to open up the Word of God, and I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah.
This church, like many others, and let's face it, many other churches as this man started, because someone many years ago just happenstance in a restaurant said, I've got 5 minutes to care about another person.
Yeah.
So with that, the Thompsons have decided that this is a good challenge, because not only have we heard good stories elsewhere, this church wouldn't happen had someone not had done this that long time ago. So, once again, the challenge is this. I'll probably take time, and I'm going to put movie tickets together and whatnot. I'm going to hand it out to everyone. So you got 25 things to try to hand out in 2 months. Some of you will be done in a week. But the challenge is 2 months, and I think we can all do that. That's a great challenge. Kids, your memory verse right now is Matthew 19, verse 14. Matthew 19, verse 14. But Jesus said, suffer the little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. If you can memorize that, you will receive a piece of candy if you let Miss Kylie hear you recite that. All right, we sung Happy Birthday this morning. The 25th will actually be Karina's, which is coming up Thursday. So probably Wednesday. We'll sing for that. If you have any other prayer requests, please let the Thompsons know. They will get it into the bulletin. But with that, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father,
And our next song is song number 254. Song number 254, Whosoever Will. Yeah, I really like that idea that I came up with, because Kylie and I are one flesh, right? So it's my idea. No, Kylie had that idea, though. She had it on her heart recently, and I thought it was a really good idea. So hopefully we all participate in that challenge, because I think that'd be good. It's just good to get in the habit of anyways, just being aware of people that might hear the gospel outside of soul winning times. But then also, it's just helps you build confidence as well, even to talk to people at the door. So I've seen that quite a few times in my life, and it seems more receptive than usual, because it's kind of like that thing with the college soul winning as well. When you catch someone when they're not at their house, where they can just slam the door into your face, they're stuck with you. They're trapped with you. So it's the social pressure. So you got to take advantage of that. Song number 254 is what we're going to sing, Whosoever Will. Song 254, let's sing it together on the first. Whosoever heareth, shout, shout the sound. Spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever cometh need not delay. Now the door is open, enter while you may. Jesus is the true, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. On the last. Whosoever will, the promise is secure. Whosoever will, forever must endure. Whosoever will, 'tis life forevermore. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Amen. Good scene. Brother Paul, could you please lift the offering for us?
Father, thank you so much for all that we have. And Lord, there is always a word of use of time. And Lord, be able to thank you short of times that says, always get the Lord first, and don't ever worry, because it won't bless and keep you from having to beg for bread. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. If you could take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter number 5. Mark 5 is our text this afternoon. And as always, here at our church, we read the entire chapter before the preaching. Mark chapter 5, the Bible reads, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Brother Remy, could you please pray for the preaching?
Yeah, dear Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for the difference, God. Thank you so much for that came to church tonight, God, to hear your word preached. I pray that you be with Brother Jason as the preacher's servant. I pray that you fill with the Holy Spirit, help us out ears to hear. And I just pray that you help him to deliver well the message from his heart. Do you still pray? Amen.
Amen. All right, so we're in Mark chapter number 5, but go ahead and go to Genesis chapter number 1. We're going to come back to Mark chapter number 5 a little bit later in the sermon. But in Genesis chapter number 1, hopefully you can get there pretty fast. Normally it's at the beginning of your Bible. If not, you know, check your Bible. So Genesis chapter number 1, look at verse number 26. It says, And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. And notice this, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God has commanded us here that we are to subdue the earth and have dominion specifically over the living creatures of the earth. And that means that mankind is supposed to be in charge of all the animals, yeah. Right? And so we're having dominion. We're lording over all the creatures of the earth. And the title of my sermon tonight is The Peace Act Exposed. The Peace Act Exposed. And an alternate title for my sermon would be Animal Rights Exposed. Animal Rights Exposed. And the reason why I'm preaching this is because I heard recently about a law that's been proposed in Oregon. So basically, you know, you'll have like a ballot initiative in a lot of states, and Oregon's one of those states. And you say, Jason, you know, this isn't Oregon, this is Washington. And I would say that you're actually wrong about that. I do not recognize the state of Oregon, nor do I recognize the state of Idaho. I don't recognize the state of Washington. I recognize the state of Oregon as it was known as the Oregon Territory, okay? And that includes British Columbia, like 90% of it. But anyway, that, you know, my personal politics on that aside. I was born in Oregon. I love Oregon. I think Oregon is a great place. My parents live in Oregon. I've got lots of relatives that live in Oregon. You know, and I'm an Oregonian at heart. You may be able to tell that by my previous comments. I don't know. I love the state of Oregon. But the state of Oregon has a problem, though. Well, it has a lot of problems, okay? But this is a major problem that's come to my attention recently. So basically, the state of Oregon, they have a ballot initiative. And what that is if you get enough signatures from people to say, hey, we want this to be on the ballot, the law will go up for general election, basically. The whole state will vote yay or nay on the bill. Okay, so it's not part of like the legislative, you know, it doesn't have to go through the state senate and the state, you know, Congress and everything like that. It just, everyone votes on it. And if enough people vote yes, then it goes into law, right? Okay, so this law, they got like 130,000 signatures for this thing. And let me go and pull up here and let me just read for you a little bit about the law. It says, the most prominent animal cruelty legislation in Oregon is Initiative Petition 28, also known as the Peace Act. This is AI, just kind of tells you what it is. It says what it does, it would eliminate legal exemptions that currently protect hunting, fishing, trapping, livestock farming from Oregon's animal abuse statute. This would make the killing of it would make the killing or intentional injury of nearly all animals illegal, effectively classifying these practices as animal cruelty. And let me just, this is from the, what is this from? This is from, I believe, the Oregon Hunters Association here. It tells you a little bit more about the law. Oregon Initiative Petition 28, officially titled the Peace Act, People for Elimination of Animal Cruelty Exemptions, would eliminate the legal exemptions that currently protect hunting, fishing, trapping, farming from Oregon's animal abuse statutes. Under current law, Oregon laws, these activities are explicitly exempted from criminal animal abuse charges, would remove those exemptions entirely, making all of the following criminal acts. And you say, so what's the big deal? You know, do you want animal cruelty? Well, here's the thing about that. This is all the things that make, this would make all of these following things illegal, meaning you can't do them anymore, otherwise the state of Oregon is going to charge you criminally. Okay? The first one is hunting. All licensed hunting would be classified as animal abuse under Oregon law. Fishing. Does anybody like fishing? Has anybody gone fishing before? Sports and commercial fishing would be criminalized statewide. Trapping. Legal trapping includes pests and wildlife management. Have you ever set a trap for a mole or a mouse? You're a criminal. Okay. Wildlife management would become illegal. How about this one? Farming and ranching. Raising animals for food, notice this, dairy, eggs, and fiber would constitute animal abuse. How many of you are wearing clothes that have wool? How many of you drank milk this last week? How many of you ate an egg this last week? You know, Pastor Hiles, but before he was 14, he wouldn't be able to raise his hand. I don't know, a little fact for you there. But anyways, scientific research, animal use in education, research, wildlife management program would be banned. So, you know, this law is insane. This is complete insanity, okay? And, you know, these animal rights activists, you know, that what they claim is that they're all about protecting animals from abuse. And let me tell you, I do not believe it. I don't believe them for one second. I don't think that they care about animals at all. And I believe that what they actually care about is they just hate human beings. Yeah. They hate humanity. They hate other human beings. And so what do they want to do? They want to find ways to try to destroy humanity. Because yeah. What would this do? Okay, well, in the state of Oregon, what it would do if this passed, basically it would just jack up all the prices of all food items, because you can't grow your own milk nearby, so it's going to be very expensive. If people don't know this, but milk is a very localized thing. Why? Because milk spoils pretty fast. It doesn't last very long, so you have to grow it pretty close by so that they can get it, they can chill it down, and they can, you know, bottle it up and ship to a store that's near you. Otherwise, they have to ship it from somewhere far away, right? And it's going to cost a lot more because it only has a certain amount of time. It only has a certain shelf life. And so it has to be, you know, it's always typically raised near where it's going to be sold from, okay? And so it's going to jack up the prices of all these different products. Anything that comes from dairy is going to go way up. Eggs, you know, how many of us like to eat steak? I love steak. It's all the prices for Oregonians are going to go way up. Okay? But here's the thing about this. Think about the mindset of these people. Because what's good for the goose is good for the gander, amen? You know, reducto absurdum. Why don't we just take their legislation and take it planet-wide? What's going to happen then? Billions starve. That's what happens. And, you know, and by the way, think of the stupidity of what they're saying. Is that they want to make ranching illegal. Why? Because they
care about the cows. Now, think about this. How many of you have ever just seen a cow in a nature documentary? Just out in the wild. Has anybody ever seen that? Do cows exist in the wild? What are they going to do? Let them free. Cut the wires. Let them just roam out wherever they want. What's going to happen to the cows? They're all going to die.
Yeah.
So do they care about animals? No, they don't. They hate animals, but mostly they hate human beings. By the way, these are the same people that voted to release wolves into Colorado. These are the same people that voted to protect wolves in Yellowstone National Park. Why? Is it because they care about the wolves and they care about the nature and they care about the elk and they care about the deer and they really care about those willow trees by the river? Do they really care about those things or do they just hate humanity?
Yeah.
They hate human activity. And this is a wicked mentality that needs to be preached against. And you know, anyway, so go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12. So we saw here in Genesis chapter number 1 that the Bible commands man to have dominion over the earth. And if we are barred from having farms, is that having dominion over the earth? No. And here's kind of the main thrust of what my sermon is going to be. It's going to show the fact that human life has immense value, and animal life, in comparison, has almost no value at all.
Right.
Not part of the equation. It's like the dust of the balance, in my opinion. The small dust of the balance.
Yeah.
Because, you know, according to the Bible, humanity, being a human being, you know, being created in the image of God, like Genesis 1 said, that, you know, God has given us value.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, there's a certain amount of value with animals, but where the animals in our world derive their value from is from the fact that they benefit us.
Yeah.
That is where their value comes from.
Yeah.
And if those animals are not benefiting us, then that means they have no value. Okay. And so, but what people want to do is they want to take man down and they want to lift the animals up. And these extreme people, like all the people that probably signed on to this bill, you know, they want to put animals above man. They view man as a scourge upon the earth, as a problem upon the earth. And mankind is just scarring nature and causing all these problems for nature, you know, And the planet would just, you know, you ever see these stupid things on Facebook or wherever that's like, hey, you know, this is what the planet would look like if all the humans were killed, and this is what the planet would look like if all the bees were killed. You know, this retarded mentality that wants to devalue the value of men and lift up the value of literally everything else, including insects. And you know, by the way, I heard that you know they had to put out like a clarificatory, you know, bulletin. Like, hey, by the way, we just want to clarify. Don't worry, you can still kill mosquitoes.
Oh wow!
It's like, how bad does your bill have to be where you have to clarify? By the way, don't worry, guys, you can still kill mosquitoes.
Oh, man.
Animal cruelty.
Yeah. For now. Soon they'll make it illegal. Soon everyone will have to be. Isn't it like the Buddhists where they like sweep away a spot where they're about to sit so they don't kill microbial life when they sit down or something insane like that? Isn't that like the Buddhists or something? That, you know, they're basically, they want to force everybody to be a Buddhist and then have a start a Vietnam War where everyone can, you know, all the Buddhists start lighting themselves on fire and protest or whatever. You know, that's what they want, right? So we're in Matthew chapter number 12. Have I read this yet? I don't think so. Okay, Matthew chapter number 12. So let's see, what's the Bible's mentality towards animals? We need to get a biblical view of animals in our world today because our world has gone insane.
Yeah.
The way people view animals, by and large, has gone insane. You know, and largely the reason why is because we've become insulated from the real world. Okay, you know, this world we're living in where, you know, we have AC, right? And you could just go down to the store and you just have chopped meat wrapped up in plastic and you have sausages just wrapped up. That's not the real world, my friend. I mean, we're insulated from what actually has to go on and happen in order to make all the meat just appear, right? And so, you know, there's a lot of these animal rights activists will be like, well, why do you have to go hunting when you can just buy meat from the store? It's like, where do you think that came from? You think it came out of a factory? You think they just like pumped it up out of the ground as a goo and then like, you know, like that SpongeBob, it's the gray goo and it goes into the thing, they spray paint the burger or whatever. It's like that's, I mean, some of these animal rights activists thought that was part of a documentary. About where food came from. It's insane. But what does the Bible say about these things? It says in Matthew 12, verse number 11, it says, and he saith unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath day? You know, so what is this verse talking about? Well, you know, obviously the primary application is Jesus is confronting them about just healing a dude, and they're like, you can't do works on the Sabbath day. You know, and he's like, hey, guess what? You would pull out a sheep out of a pit if it fell into a pit. You'd pull it out of the pit on the Sabbath day, wouldn't you?
And everyone's like, well, yeah, I guess we would.
And he says, hey, how much better is a human being than a sheep? How much more valuable is a human being than a sheep?
Right.
Infinitely more valuable.
Yep.
And so there's nothing wrong with helping somebody on the Sabbath day.
Right.
Whether it's pulling them out of a pit or miraculously healing them like Jesus did in this situation. Right? So according to the Bible, human beings are more valuable than animals. Okay? And throughout the Bible, God shows a complete disregard for animals, for the life of animals. Okay, God's not worried about the life of all these animals. He's actually worried about the life of human beings. Okay, go ahead and turn to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. And if I could get a glass of water, that would be fantastic. Mark chapter number 5 is a great story in the Bible, and it's a great example of how God values the lives of humans over the lives of animals. Okay? It says in Mark chapter number 5, we'll look at verse number 6, it says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith, that means immediately, like right away, it says, Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. So this demon-possessed guy, you know, the demons are like, hey, can we go in the swine? You know, and honestly, I've always kind of wondered, like, why did they want to go on the swine? Like, what, you know, what's going on with this story? Like, why do they want to go on the swine? And then why do the swine just go into the sea and choke themselves? I've never really understood why. Like did Jesus make the swine go and go choke themselves to like spite the demons, or did the demons do it? Or, you know, I don't know. I've kind of wondered those things. But nonetheless, Jesus knew that 2,000 swine were about to die. And he's like, oh, I'm going to save this guy from being demon-possessed at the cost of 2,000 swine? Bam! Right away! Yeah. Sold! Saving the guy and getting rid of the swine right now. And so Jesus, he displays a complete and total disregard for the lives of these precious little swine that just wanted... They were like, what's that? Charlotte's Web. What's the pig's name?
Wilbur.
Poor 2,000 poor little Wilbers. Oh.
I mean, what if they weren't even fully grown? What if they're poor little baby piggies? Jesus didn't care. He didn't care about that stupid bee and his stupid little, or the stupid spider, right, that made the web. Jesus saw the web, you know. What did the web say? It said, like, magnificent or something. They're like, we can't kill the pig now. I'd be like, give me the knife for killing the pig. I'm hungry. Breakfast is waiting. I don't care about what that stupid spider put on the web, okay? No demon-possessed spider is going to prevent me from having my sausage for breakfast. So, you know, Jesus didn't care about Wilbur. He sent Wilbur off a cliff into the sea to save a human being. So that means that human beings are way more valuable than pigs. Okay, and that goes for any animal. Any animal. You know, there was that sign. Somebody turned it into a meme, right? It was like, you know, it was like a PETA sign. It's like, you know, had a bunch of farm animals on it. Yeah. And it's like, where do you draw the line? You know, because it goes from like cats, dogs, and then pigs, chickens, horses, and, you know, and somebody just drew a line at like the cats and dogs, and they're like, okay, you can, you know, because on one side it was like horses, cats, and dogs, and the other side it was all the other animals that we eat all the time, and they're just like, right here, you know. But here's the thing, just get rid of the line, and there is no line. You know, if you go to a Chinese restaurant that's a little sketchy, hey, that just, God has given us all the creeping things of the earth to eat. You know, the only real, you know, thing that was like, hey, don't eat this, is it poisonous?
Yeah.
Right? We're in the New Testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, you know, if you want to go down to Thailand or wherever and have some dog, is there anything against that in the Bible?
No.
No. You know, we just don't like to do that here in America because it's icky or something. Well, have you tried dog? You probably have. You know? You don't know. Did you take it down and test it at the lab? Didn't think so. So, you know, where was I going with that? People are more valuable than dogs. People are more valuable than pigs. Okay, and Jesus showed a complete disregard of the pigs. And then later in the story, the people come out. They're like, oh, pigs are dead. And they're like, we want Jesus to leave, right? And it's like, all right, well, here's, you know, there's the first PETA activist right there. You know, and we had a sign. There's a billboard across the street here that for a while it was like, hey, did you know 78% of Americans don't know that when sheep's wool production goes down, they get slaughtered. And then it had like a choose vegan or like a choose, you know, something or whatever. I don't know. I don't care. And I'm like, well, did you know that 78% of Americans don't give a flying butt about what, you know, what happens to the sheep? You know, so do you know that 78% of Americans would probably love to eat that sheep right after it gets slaughtered? You know, if you've ever had mutton, you know, it can be really good. It's also, you know, it can be gamey and very filling. You have a couple bites of it and you're like, oh man, I don't know if I want to have any more, but it depends on how it's cooked and whatnot. But, you know, in America, we're very blessed with cattle. You know, cows are the thing to eat. That's like the creme de la creme of the meats in my totally humble and unbiased and completely correct opinion. So, but anyway, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. And verse number 17, it says, and behold, even I do bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. And so here, you know, obviously this is talking about Noah's flood. God is going to flood the entire earth, and he's going to kill all the, you know, the purpose of the flood is to drown everybody because there's so much violence in the earth, right? And he's going to save Noah and his family. But as a side effect of that, all the animals are going to also die, except for obviously the two pairs of each kind of animal that get on the ark. But, you know, they're just all of these animals, they're just going to drown in the flood. And you know what is it that the animals did wrong? Did the animals do anything wrong to deserve being drowned horribly? No, not necessarily. But here's the thing: is it a factor in God's decision making? Like, well, you know, I was going to flood the earth, but then I remembered there's all these innocent animals. And, you know, Harambe, you know, it's just like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm going to flood the earth now. No. He's just like, all right, we're turning on the faucet. All the animals are going to drown. Do I care about Harambe? No. Don't care about him at all. He's going to drown with the rest of them, right, to punish the human beings. So guess what? The animals are no factor. No factor. Irrelevant. Okay. So if you know, when it comes to the lives of animals versus the lives of human beings, or just the lives of animals versus the comfort of human beings, we're going with the comfort of human beings.
Yeah.
You know, that cow has sacrificed its life for me so I can enjoy its meat. You know, I might not, you know, it's not a guarantee, but I might not die if I never have beef again. Maybe not. I don't know. You never know. There could be something that happens to me if I don't have enough beef, right? But you know what? So by me abstaining from beef, I could, like, you know, save a bunch of cows, right? But here's the thing. Not worth it. Not going to happen. That cow's life is worth my pleasure. Okay, I mean, I'm not even saving my life. I'm just deriving pleasure from eating the cow. And that, by the way, that's the cow's job. That's why God created cows and cattle on the earth. You know, and you'll find, like, even when we read in Genesis chapter 1, you know, he's like, hey, there's like fish, there's birds, and there's cattle. That's how important cows are to the human being, okay? Very important. Steak is very important to God. It's very important to me too. And so that's why he created cows, is so that we could have ribeye steak, okay? And then the Hindus are over there worshiping the cow and not eating the ribeye steak. And I'm pretty sure God is mad at Hinduism for teaching that. Amen. By the way. Anyways. Yeah, it is. It's definitely the doctrine of devils. I mean, you got, you know, they're always making an image of a cow in the Old Testament and then they're worshiping it. And then the Hindus are like, hold my beer, watch this. We're going to worship the real cow. Anyway, that's another sermon for another day. Okay. All right, so we read about the flood. Go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter number 9. Oh, water. This is fantastic. I think I asked for that like 10 minutes ago, didn't I? You gotta stop putting chlorine in the water because you're abusing the rights of the bacteria in the water. I mean, they're willing to do that for all these other things. I mean, how long is it before they say you can't kill microscopic organisms with chlorine?
Right.
You know, your whole battle against COVID was wrong because viruses have rights. It's like at that point, you know, it's like, okay, you know, the empire was right, you know. They should have blown up Alderaan. It's like, these people are insane. You know, I don't know. All right, let's move on to the next subject. It's still the same subject, actually. We're just moving to another verse. Exodus chapter number 9, look at verse number 1. It says, then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. Thou shalt be a very grievous moron, and the Lord shall serve between the cattle of the Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, And all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And so here God, he's using this disease, you know, this grievous moran. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but basically it's going to be like a disease that he inflicts the cows with that kills them. All these different animals that the Egyptians are using, he inflicts them with this disease and they all die, right? And so basically God is killing all these animals as a punishment to the Egyptians, right? And so again, where are the animal rights in the Bible? Doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Animal rights don't exist. Animals don't have rights,
right,
my friend.
Yeah.
They're not like us. You know, they want to bring us down to the level of animals, and they want to say that we came from animals. Well, I'm sorry, my friend, but we're not.
Yeah.
Animals are lower than us. We reign above the animals, and they do not have rights.
Right.
Okay, they're not, you know, people, they're, you know, people are calling their pets their fur babies or whatever, but it's you know, I don't like it when people do that.
Amen.
You know, don't, you know, they'll be like, oh, you know, this, you know, somebody will have a dog or whatever and they'll have kids, and then they'll call the dog the kid's brother or sister.
Weird.
It's like, really? So you gave birth to that? Tell me about what it was like when the claws were, you know, like, what are you talking about? You know, it's just, it's insane, you know. It's a weird mentality.
Amen.
You know, and I don't think it used to be this way. Back when 70% of Americans were farmers, I'm pretty sure that nobody was calling their dog their fur baby or their other children's brother and sister. It just wasn't happening. This is a modern phenomenon where people are elevating animals to the level of human beings. You know, and you know, a lot of those people, they're kind of joking around with it. You know, they're not really that serious about it. But here's the thing about it is that, you know, most people that are going to call their dog their, you know, their fur baby or whatever, yeah, maybe they're not completely insane, but that mentality, it's a symptom of other people's, you know, becoming even way more insane. You know, for every, you know, every 10 people you have that call their dog their fur baby, you're going to have one person that's like actually completely 100% believes it, and they think that anybody that does anything wrong to any animal at any point should be get like the death penalty or something. I mean, they want to outlaw trapping, meaning you can't have a mouse trap in your house. I mean, this type of person is insane, is crazy, okay? And so, you know, that type of person, what used to be, they would have been ostracized from society if they started talking like that and saying crazy and insane things like that. You know, they would have been insane. But nowadays, we allow them to put ballot initiatives together. Anyway, where were we in the Bible here?
Exodus
chapter number 9. Go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter number 13. So God, again, you know, the main thrust of the sermon here is to show that God values human beings and basically doesn't value animals. And the only reason why animals are here are to benefit us.
Yeah.
Okay? And so, you know, in my opinion, there should be no animal abuse laws whatsoever. You know, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later in the sermon. But I don't think there should be any legal repercussions whatsoever for what somebody does with their own property. Okay, and that's what, if you own an animal, that is your property. It's not a family member, it's property. And it's your property. And you can do what you want with your property. Amen? Like, I own a truck, and if I want to go ahead and just ram my truck into my garage, I have the right to do that. Right? Because it's mine. And so if I want to do whatever I want with my dog, I have the right to do that. You know, if I owned a dog, and I'm not planning on owning a dog anytime soon, or probably for the rest of my life, but you know, the more I go soul winning, the less I like dogs. But when I was a kid, I loved dogs. Okay? And I'm not saying I hate dogs or anything like that.
You know, and there are certain dogs I like, but, you know, the more you go soul winning, it's like, these stupid dogs, you know, they just ruin everything, right?
Yeah.
But, where was I going with that? But if I had a dog, and I was like, you know, this dog is causing me problems, this dog is doing whatever, and I need to get rid of it, and I shoot my own dog, that's my right.
Yeah.
I can do whatever I want with my dog.
Why? Because it's my property. That dog does not have any rights.
Right.
Because why? Because you know what? Rights are given out by God. God is the one who gives out rights to people.
Yeah.
And you know, people are really presumptuous. You know, people want to just claim they have all these rights. It's like, yeah, but did God give you that right? Is God giving you that right? And by the way, I believe that God can take away rights from people.
Oh, yeah.
I believe he can do that. You know,
inalienable rights. You know, I do believe in rights, but I don't know if I believe in inalienable rights. Why don't you go ask the North Koreans about their inalienable rights? Do they have inalienable rights? Or has God removed that from them for being wicked and evil and rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yep.
Anyways, this is getting a very philosophical type sermon this evening. Exodus chapter number 13. Have I read that one yet?
Nope.
No. All right. So we're going to read Exodus chapter number 13. Look at verse number 13. It says, "And every firstlings of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborns of men among thy children shalt thou redeem." So what is it talking about here? Well, so basically, you know, the firstborn of all, you know, your different animals, you're supposed to either basically give it to the Levites as an offering, you know, or you're supposed to redeem it. And basically, the redeeming is if you didn't, like, let's say you had a lamb was born, it's the firstborn lamb, and you didn't really want to give it to the Levites, well, there was an option to redeem it. So basically, you pay them money instead of giving them the physical lamb, right? So, and you would pay them basically, you know, if the lamb was worth $100, you'd give them $100 plus 20, because you'd add the fifth part there too, right? But with an ass, though, or a donkey, what did it say here? It says the first thing of an ass, right? So the Levites, they didn't want to be given an ass, right? And I was thinking about this, and I think, you know, there's always symbolism going on, right? And, you know, if you think about, like, what is an ass for? What does it do?
It bears burdens.
It's a beast of burden, right? It works for you.
Yep.
Right? And what is, you know, and so instead of offering them the ass, you're supposed to offer them a lamb, right? As a replacement for the ass. What's the lamb represent?
Jesus
Christ, right? So instead of offering the beast of burden, the working animal, right, to the Levites, you're supposed to know, don't offer them that, offer a lamb. So it's kind of a picture of salvation. I just thought that was kind of interesting. You know, all the works-based salvation people, you know, put that in your pope and smoke it or whatever. Pope and smack it, pipe and smoke it, whichever one you like better. But what I wanted to point out about this is that, you know, there was an option if for the ass. If you didn't want to give a lamb, you're like, okay, well, I have this ass, either I've got to redeem it, you know, or I got to give a lamb. If you don't want to give a lamb, well, you can just go ahead and break its neck. So is God really just concerned about the lives of animals, and he wants to make sure that all these animals that are frolicking around in the wilderness or wherever just are not harmed? He wants to, he cares about them and tucks them in bed or whatever. No. No, he doesn't care about the lives of animals. And the reason why the animals are there is to benefit you and me. That's what they're there for. Okay? That's why we have animals on the earth. The animals are not here to rule over us. Okay? We're here to rule over them. But go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 22. Deuteronomy chapter number 22. So I've shown you multiple verses in the Bible, multiple stories and sections of Scripture where the Bible is really clear, right? That God does not regard the lives of animals. He's not worried about them.
Okay, if an animal has to die for one reason or another, he's not worried about that animal dying, right? You know, he floods the whole earth, he kills 2,000 swine, and it's like not even a concern, right? But there are verses in the Bible that you know, sometimes people will use to push back against this idea that animals, their lives don't really matter. Okay, there are certain verses, and I just wanted to kind of go through some of those verses, and I wanted to, you know, give a little bit of balance to the sermon here, because, you know, believe it or not, I do like animals. Okay, and we'll talk about that here in just a minute. Though it says in Deuteronomy chapter number 22, look at verse number 6. It says, "If a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way, in any tree or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young, but thou shalt in any wise let the dam go and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest prolong thy days." Now, so what this verse is talking about, you know, is basically if you come upon a nest wherever, if it's in the tree or wherever, if you want the eggs, the Bible's saying, hey, you can go ahead and take the eggs, but don't take the mother bird. And when it says the dam sitting upon the young, that's referring to the mother bird. Okay. So what the Bible's saying here is like, hey, don't kill the mother bird. Why? Well, because that mother bird is going to produce more eggs. Right?
Yeah.
And if you just go ahead and kill all the mother birds, well, then you're not going to have any more eggs or birds. They're all gonna be wiped out, right? So the Bible's kind of putting a rule in place here that's gonna prevent, you know, the children of Israel from wiping out an entire population of birds or whatever, right? And people will say, well, you see, that's because God really cares about the birds, and he really cares about those eggs and the young ones, and he cares about the mother birds a lot. But that's not actually what's going on here, because if we read carefully, at the end it says that it may be well with the birds, that it may be well with Tweety? No. What's the concern here? It says that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. Right? So there's some wisdom to be had with saying, hey, we're not going to kill every living creature we see. Why? Because maybe we want a sustainable operation going on where we can continue to have more birds, we can continue to have more eggs. We can, you know, I think it was a really a foolish thing in the 19th century when we nearly wiped out all the buffalo. And a lot of people, you know, there's this kind of thing, it's like, oh, well, we, you know, the white man was wiping out all the buffalo to try to kill all the Indians. When in reality, it was kind of just capitalism at work, because there was market hunting going on. And, you know, guys would go out there, and there's no rules or anything. You could just go out and kill the bison and get the meat and get the hide and everything and sell it. And people were making a lot of money doing it. And so, you know, that drive to get money by doing something fun, hunting, right? That drive for money is really what nearly wiped out the buffalo. You know, it's not necessarily, you know maybe the whole Indian thing, it's largely overblown. It was mostly the market hunting. But that was kind of a foolish thing for, you know, I mean, what if they did actually succeed in wiping them all out? I don't think that would have been a positive thing, right?
Right.
Why? Because then we wouldn't have any buffalo today.
Yeah.
Now, we still have a certain amount of buffalo. There used to be 60 million buffalo on the Great Plains, but now there's like few hundred thousand or something like that, because the market hunters were really successful. They knew what they were doing, right? And so, you know, if we would have wiped them all out, that wouldn't have been beneficial to us,
right?
Right? Like if we just wiped out all the chickens, we're like, oh, I'm hungry for chicken. What's a fried chicken now? And we go out and we just kill all the chickens. We don't have any chickens left. We're like, I want beef. I want my steak now. And we just kill all the cows. Right? Then that's not going to be a good thing. For us, with the cows themselves, we're not really worried about the individual cow.
or the individual bison or the individual bird, we're worried about whether or not we can continue eating. Right. Amen. Yeah. So this is what that verse is about. This is about sustainability, right? Making sure, you know, that you're not wiping, you know, an entire species out or something like that.
Yeah.
Because look, you know, mankind, we do have the ability to do these things. Like if we wanted to, we could just poison every single creature in the sea. We're going to move on from that subject. Anyway, so go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 25. Deuteronomy chapter number 25. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 25. So, Deuteronomy 25, look at verse number 20, number 4. It says, "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn." And this is a verse that somebody would point to say, like, see, animals have rights. They have the right to eat while they're treading out the corn. Because, you know, when it says don't muzzle the ox, basically, you know, it would be a muzzle. You know, everyone knows what a muzzle is, right? You put it on the dog so it doesn't bite people, right? They put the muzzle on so that while he's in the cornfield, he's not eating the corn, right? He's preventing the ox from eating the corn. And the God's saying, hey, don't do that, right? That's not the correct thing to do. And now people will take that and say, well, you see, you know, the ox has the right to eat corn, you know, don't, you know, because God really cares about the ox. He's really concerned about the ox weight loss. You know, this ox is anemic and needs to gain weight because he's looking too skinny. God cares about the ox and wants him to eat, right? But go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, and we're gonna view the Old Testament through the lens of the New Testament, okay? And I put Deuteronomy chapter number 9, but I'm like 100% sure that it's actually 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. It's 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Look at verse number 9. It says, "For it is written in the law of Moses," right? This is what we just read. "Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn." Sounds pretty familiar. Sounds like we just read that. Now here's the question. Doth God take care for oxen? Is God worried about the oxen? Is he worried about the cows? Is he worried about the ostriches and the monkeys and the gorillas? Is he worried about all those things? "Or saith he altogether for our sakes?" It's for our sakes. Why? Well, because, you know, God wants you to have a good oxen that's going to work for you to be able to make so that you can harvest your food. So this is for your benefit. "For our sakes, no doubt, it is written that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope." So it's for our benefit and it's for our sakes. Now, you know, the context of 1 Corinthians 9 is that, you know, a preacher should be paid for his due labor.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, the example he uses is the ox treading out the corn. Now, the reason why God wants you to allow the ox that's treading out the corn to eat is because that oxen is going to be able to do a better job of plowing the field if he's able to eat of that of the work of his own hooves. You know what I mean? And so, you know, men should be able to eat of the labor of their own hands,
yeah.
Right? And so, but you know, God specifically clarifies that, hey, it's not because I care about the oxen. Again, you know, God is not concerned about the lives of animals. He's concerned about the lives and quality of lives of human beings.
Amen.
Okay. Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter number 12. Oh. I've been preaching for a little while. I thought it was 4:30 or something. But no, it's not. Okay, well, anyway. We don't have too much longer to go.
Luke chapter number 12, verse number 6, it says, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? Not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. So, and people take this verse and say, hey, don't you see that God values sparrows? But if you notice, the Bible doesn't really actually say that. It doesn't tell you how much he values the sparrows. It says, you know, five sparrows are sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten of God. So what it's talking about is God's, you know, infinite knowledge. I believe it's his omniscience. I'm not sure if that's the correct word. You know, I didn't go to Latin school, so I don't get my Latin correct all the time. But it's talking about the infinite knowledge of God and how he knows everything, right? He knows everything that's happening in our lives. He, you know, he can keep track of every hair, you know, that falls out of our heads. And so, you know, some of us are keeping really busy with these hairs that are falling out, you know. And but some of us, he won't be busy anymore, though. So, amen. but so it's talking about the infinite knowledge of God, right? It says, fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. So it's like, okay, well, I'm more valuable than many sparrows. How many is many? Well, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says that Jesus died for many. Now, how many people did Jesus die for? All of them. So I would submit to you that when the Bible says, hey, you're more valuable than many sparrows, many equals all of them. I would submit to you today that you, as an individual, are more valuable than every sparrow that's ever existed on planet Earth.
Amen.
Why? Because you're created in the image of God, and that sparrow is not.
Amen.
God has put value on you over the sparrow. God cares a lot more about you than he cares about all the sparrows. You know what? And I would apply that same logic to all animals. You know, I'm not interested in saving, you know, Willie the whale at the expense of a human being.
Right.
I don't care if it's the last whale to ever live. You know, wasn't there like a Star Trek movie where the aliens come and the aliens are going to like destroy the Earth unless it gets a humpback whale? Who came up with that script? What a bizarre story. I mean, what in the world? The aliens are going to destroy planet Earth because we don't have a humpback whale. It's like, I don't know. Didn't they have to go like back in time to like get a whale or something like that? And it's like, I don't know. It's bizarre. You know, Star Trek is bizarre, okay? There's some weird stuff going on there. Saving a whale from the past. It's, you know, I don't know. But guess what? You know, I believe that one human being is more valuable than all the whales. If all the whales have to die to save one human being, let him die. Save the human being. Amen?
Right.
Of course, you know, what situation could you think of where that would be? Sure, I don't know. But that's where I stand, okay? One person is more valuable than all the whales. Okay? And again, you know, we're more valuable than all the sparrows. We're more valuable than all the dogs, all the camels, all the cows. So, you know, there's no comparison. Proverbs chapter number 12, verse number 10, I'm just going to read this for you. It says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. And people will take this verse and say, hey, you see, righteous people are just really worried about the quality of life for their animals. But here's the thing, the Bible isn't really saying that per se. It's contrasting wicked people with righteous people. Like, that's the point of this verse, right? It's to contrast wicked with the righteous. And a righteous man, it says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. And so what the verse is trying to accomplish by saying that, it's like, hey, you know, a beast is kind of like would be the lowest of our concerns, right? Like, if your dog or your cat or if your animal, you know, has an issue,
you know, like is sick or is like missing a tooth or something's wrong with it, right? That's not like a very big deal, right? But if your child has an issue, right, like they're sick or they're missing a tooth, you know, or you know, that's a bigger deal. Or maybe they have a broken nose. You're like, all right, what are we going to do to fix this situation? This is a big deal. You know, there's blood coming out of his nose. All right, we're going to the ER, right? And then when we get to the ER, we're going to make sure there's lots of, don't clean up any of the blood before you get to the ER. Make sure there's blood everywhere, right? And then they'll help you in a reasonable amount of time. Don't clean up the blood before you go to the ER. But, you know, if your dog, you know, has a bloody nose or whatever, you're like, well, he'll get over it, right? And so what the Bible's doing here, it's like, hey, the righteous man, he regards the life even of his beast. Meaning he's regarding everything else more, but he's even regarding the life of his beast. He even cares about the life of his animal.
Right.
Right?
That's good.
Like he's not somebody that has just no care for it. He's taking care of his animal. Right? Whereas it's contrasting that with a wicked person, where even like the thing that the wicked person cares about the most, even his tender mercies, like the person he cares about the most, it's cruel. So there's a huge contrast, right? Like the person that the wicked person cares about the most, he's cruel towards them. But the righteous person, even his beast, he's like, okay, well, I'm gonna take care of the beast and make sure he's okay. It's like that's a wide contrast, right? So that's the point of this verse. But also, I do want to mention, you know, like I'm not like just for just being cruel to your animals or whatever. Like, you know, when people are just cruel to animals for no reason, that is weird. That is actually, it is a symptom of a deeper problem that person has, because they lack empathy. Right, somebody that lacks empathy is probably going to be a wicked person, right? Well, I should say that they are a wicked person if they're just completely lacking any and all empathy,
amen.
Right? And, you know, I don't like to see animals suffer.
Amen.
It doesn't make me happy. It doesn't give me a good feeling. It gives me a bad feeling, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's not something that I just enjoy, just seeing animals suffer. You know, whenever you catch a fish or whatever, and it's got the, you know, catching fish is awesome, but you know, when you catch a fish, you know, you're not like excited when the fish has swallowed the hook and it's like deep down and you have to like work it out, you know. I'm not excited for that part, right? You know, I'm excited when I'm, you know, getting into the boat. That part's awesome, right? But you know, there's certain parts you don't enjoy. And so, you know, and I've killed various animals before, you know, I've slaughtered various animals before. And, you know, hunting, that is actually very enjoyable, right? That was a lot of fun. And I've slaughtered probably like a dozen alpacas before or whatever. And, you know, getting it out is not the most fun part, but, you know, shooting it, you know, I'm not going to comment on that, all right? That's not going to make me look good. But like, you know, like I've caught mice before or whatever. And when I was a kid, we had a dog that like got a mouse in its mouth. But she didn't like catch him. She, you know, the mouse still got away, but it was injured and it, you know, tore its stomach open, and you know there was some stuff coming out, and the mouse is like running. Like you kind of feel for the mouse. You're like, oh man, poor guy, right? And so when somebody lacks that, though, that's not a good sign, right? When somebody lacks empathy for animals, okay, because, you know, you kind of, like, when something bad happens to an animal, you kind of think of yourself in that same position.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, that's just kind of a natural thing, right? Yeah. And so, like, I'm not for animal cruelty, okay? But here's the thing, though. Politically, I don't think anybody should ever be prosecuted for harming their own animals. If it's their animal, that's their property, okay? That animal doesn't have any rights to where, oh, you know, violation of animal rights, call animal protection or whatever. No. That animal is their property, and they can do with
their property, what they want. That's what I believe.
Maybe they do something that I wouldn't do. Maybe they'll do something that I don't enjoy. But at the end of the, day, politically, that's not my business. It's their property. And you know what? These animal rights activists, you know, what's happening on the farm is not your business. And what's happening in my house with my property is not their business. And what goes on in other parts of the country is not their business. But they want to literally come in and control everything that happens between humans and animals. Which, again, this is an extremely wicked mentality. And again, I don't believe that they care about the well-being of animals at all, because of the fact that, I mean, what this bill will actually do is basically all the animal populations are just going to explode temporarily,
yeah.
And then it's going to crash at some point, because that's what'll happen a lot of times. If populations aren't managed, there'll be a population explosion and then a crash, right? Because all the deer and the elk and everything, they'll multiply, and then they'll eat all the food. And then there's no more food, and then all these animals are just starving to death. And starving to death is not fun. You know, being hungry until you die is a very painful, horrible experience, right? And so that's the fate of millions of animals that'll happen if this thing comes to pass. And so that tells me either they're too stupid to be given the right to vote, or they're evil.
Right.
And again, I think a lot of them are just plain evil.
Yeah.
And, you know, they actually don't care about animals, but they just care about hating God. And go ahead and turn to Romans chapter number 1. It is June, so this had to be included in my sermon because it is June. But you know what? It ties in well with this subject. In Romans chapter number 1, look at verse number 21. It says, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So notice, people that hate God, they don't even want to retain God in their knowledge. It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator.
Right. Yep.
And so when you have somebody that they claim that they just love animal, you know, they love animals so much to the point where they're just worshiping animals. Right? And when you all of us have probably heard somebody say, like, I love animals more than people. That is a wicked mentality. That is an evil, wicked mentality.
Amen.
But it shows you that they're on this path of they want to reject God. They don't want anything to do with God, to the point where they want to raise, you know, not only do they want to put animals on the same level as people, they want to put animals above people, and they want to put animals above God.
Yeah.
It's like, how insane is that?
Right.
I mean, God created the entire universe. He created every living being upon planet Earth. He created us. He created all the birds and all the cattle and everything. And they want to put the created cow above God. Insanity.
It is.
Complete insanity. But, you know, there's a huge overlap between, you know, the LGBT, you know, let God burn them quickly crowd and the animal rights activists. Major overlap. Also, major overlap with the people that want to support abortion.
It's like, you know, kind of like Brother Paul was preaching the other day, you know, there's this major overlap. It's the LGBTQ, or what was it, the Reprobate Coalition. You know, and I do believe that these people that are animal rights activists, because, I mean, it's one thing for you to, for if somebody came by with a survey and it says, hey, are you for cruelty of animals? Do you support animal abuse? You're probably just going to be like, no, I don't support animal abuse, right? Or, you know, because they'll have these survey questions like that. Or if they're like, you know, if somebody just came by and said, hey, do you support, you know, or like just asked you, hey, do you support being against animal abuse or something like that? You know, it'd be like, oh, yeah. But there's a difference between somebody who's just like asked a survey question and they're like, yeah, I'm against animal abuse or whatever. And somebody being an actual animal rights activist. Meaning they make it their life's goal to go out and basically try to change laws and go after people because of perceived animal rights abuses or whatever. That type of person is an extremely evil and wicked person. Why? Because, you know, like I was saying earlier, if we take their logic and apply it everywhere, if we take their law that they're proposing and apply it everywhere, it's the end of civilization. Civilization will end if we go with their mentality. Why? Because there's no more farming. No more eggs, no more chickens, no more beef. And pretty soon they'll be like, hey, wheat plants have rights too. You can't harvest those. I mean, what's stopping them, right? Where's the logical end? And so, you know, these are extremely wicked, evil people, and they're largely going to be part, you know, if you find an animal rights activist, you know, you've also found a queer ally. I pretty much almost guarantee it, right? I mean, those two groups, you know, it's like a fly on crap, you know. They just go together. But anyway, let's go ahead and bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. I pray that you'd please help us to put animals in the correct perspective. And Lord, we pray that this bill will not pass in the state of Oregon, because if it passes there, it might even spread here, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you'd please bless us, and we thank you for all the animals that we have that are for our benefit, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Good sermon, Brother Jason. Our last one is Psalm number 206. Song number 206, Oh Say But I'm Glad. Song 206. Let's sing it out together on the first. There is a song in my heart today, something I've never had. Jesus has taken my sins away, oh say but I'm glad. Oh say but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh say but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Wonderful, marvelous love he brings into a heart that's sad. Through darkest tunnels the soul just sings. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. We have a fellowship rich and sweet. Canary lay. Abiding in him the soul's retreat. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad.
Won't you come to him with all your care, weary and worn and sad? You too will sing as his love you share. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Amen. Good scene. Brother Ryan, could you close the word of prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for this church and the sermon we heard tonight, Lord. Thank you, God, for everything you did to us, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you'll bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.